God bless you. Good morning. Ooh, that was weak. I don't do that often. God bless you. Good morning. Thank you so much. You're awake and aware. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. That's old school. That was old school. Back in the day when you said God is good as the pastor, everybody would say all the time. And you would say and all the time and the people would say God is good. That call and response. Thank you for that. I want to talk to you for the next couple of weeks about a psalm. That is pretty famous. We have printed it up on stuff. We in the Christian community, we like to write it on our coffee mugs, and we like to put it on t-shirts, maybe bumper stickers, or at least some piece or part of it. We like to put it on posters and hanging around our houses, and it's very famous. It's a very powerful scripture. I want to talk about Psalm 23 with you today. I want to talk about the Psalms in general, though. In part, the book of Psalms is a record of David's spiritual journey before he became a king, and after he took the throne. It's important to remember that before David was ever a king, he was a shepherd. And we make a lot about that. We make a lot of time and energy and effort. We use a lot of time, energy, and effort to talk about what a shepherd is and what a shepherd was, the function of a shepherd. We'll talk a little bit about that today, but what's important to remember is that, first and foremost, David was a shepherd. He was a person who cared for animals. It was the lowliest of jobs. Often, and you may not know this, often it was the young women in families because men were, it was a patriarchal society, don't come for me, it wasn't my idea, that's just how they did it back then. In a patriarchal society, women were relegated to places of lower importance in some cases. And so often shepherds, believe it or not, were little girls. But if you came from a family of boys, you were a blessed family. However, the younger you were, the more the menial tasks fell to you. David was the youngest, and that's why he was a little shepherd boy. And being a shepherd was not an easy job. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Some of the Psalms are a record of what David was thinking and feeling and his interactions in his mind and in his heart with God before he became king and after he became king. There's some powerful words there, but lots of these Psalms were written as songs. We have Psalms from Solomon, we have Psalms from David, we have Sons of Asaph, we have these different people who wrote these Psalms, and often they were meant to be sung. They were meant to come with a tune. They were meant to be expressed in joy. They were meant to be expressed in adoration of the Father, of God. It's a hymnal of sorts, if you think about it that way, and that's why I call it hymn number 23. Lots of different things that we can learn out of the Psalms, and I want to talk about Psalm 23 to you because of how comfortable and familiar we can become with it, and that's not a bad thing. But we're going to revisit it today and for the next couple of weeks. Go ahead and go there with me, Psalm 23. I'll come back to that. Psalm 23, in whatever version you've got, I'll read pieces of it out of different versions. This is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. And it says, as a title in my New American Standard, "The Lord, the Psalmist's Shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to look at the first couple of verses today because there's a lot in here that we can talk about. And I think if you try to take it all at one time, we could be here for longer than you care to be here in one sitting. And so that's why we're going to split it up a little bit so we have some time. The Lord is my shepherd. This is David talking about God. Now, if you're not careful, you'll get bound by the context. We talk about context all the time. You know, I'm more of a teacher than a preacher. We talk about context all the time. What was being written? Why was it being written? For whom it was being written? All the events and circumstances surrounding it. And if you're not careful, sometimes the Old Testament can kind of get stuck for you. You can feel like, well, that was important things, but how is that relevant to me and for me today? This psalm in particular, and I don't know about you, but I learned this when I was a kid. This is one of those that kind of starts happening for you in nursery, and then you get into maybe children's church, and they, back in the day, it was a flannel graph. Y'all don't know what a flannel graph is, and that's all right. But there was a board covered with a cloth, and stuff would stick to it, and that's how I learned the 23rd Psalm. I learned it by rote. This idea that at any point in time, I can call on God as my shepherd. So we don't want to get stuck in the context of the time, although it's important to note that David was a shepherd, and what he is declaring is that God is his shepherd. Why is that important? What does it matter? I think we probably all know that shepherds deal basically with animals. That's kind of their currency. That's what they deal in. And it's not one particular type of animal. Goats and sheep, probably the ones we are most used to. There's a story in the Bible that some pigs are involved in. You know, you could be a shepherd of some pigs as well. This idea that you have this responsibility for this currency, and that's what animals were back then. They were currency. They were livelihood. They were the difference between life and death. Shepherds took care of these flocks or these groups of animals. Anybody in here have a pet? Anybody? Let me see. Really? Yep. Okay. So those of you that have a pet, you understand what it's like kind of to be a shepherd of one or maybe two, or if you're really intense, three or four pets. It's a full-time job, isn't it? A little bit. Isn't it a little bit to have this quadruped? Normally, sometimes, maybe they stand up on two legs if you have that kind of pet. I don't know. I don't know how you people get down or what you import from different places. And don't tell me because I can't be held accountable for it. I have a dog. I know people who have cats. And it's a thing. They require food. Have you ever not fed a pet for a while? If you do that long enough, they cease to be. You don't want to do that for your pet. You want to feed the pet. You want to make sure that the pet has water because, like us, animals need water. But that's not all. They need attention. Animals can get stinky. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you don't bathe an animal from time to time, I love my dog. I love my Phantom. Love him. Love him like he's a member of my family. Summertime is tough at our house because Phantom likes to go outside and likes to cook in the sun. I don't know what it is about him. He just likes to lie out in the sun. He likes to go out there and lie out on the little concrete, the little walkway that we have out back. And when he comes back in, I don't know how to describe the smell for you. It's not pleasant. It just smells like my dog has just been outside cooking. It's a hot dog smell. That's what we call it. Woo, hot dog. It's not a good smell, and it doesn't go away. You got to wash the dog. You got to take care of the dog. Phantom has to have his claws clipped, and because if he doesn't, then when he comes and playfully paws at you, you end up going to the hospital. I mean, it's that kind of deal. Yeah, you have to be careful about the stuff that they eat. They can only eat the dog. I mean, there's a lot of care and concern that goes into just watching one dog. And shepherds are people who take care of a flock. These are dozens and dozens of animals. What do shepherds do? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David wouldn't have said that if it wasn't important, if it wasn't meaningful for him. Having been a shepherd, he understood what it meant for the Lord to be his shepherd. David is saying, "The Lord is the person who cares for me. The Lord is the person who is responsible for me. The Lord is the person, it is God who watches my goings and my comings. It's God who pays attention to everything that I'm doing. It's God who spends time with me." You ever not spend time with an animal? Cats are a different breed. Cats can kind of do their own thing. They'll come to you when they want to be around you and bless you with their presence. Dogs feel like they want to be around all the time. Animals need attention. If you don't pay attention to animals, not only do you miss the health concerns that they have, but something can begin to happen to that animal. It becomes dissociated from, you know, your group and from your tribe, and after a while starts to misbehave. Shepherds take care of their animals. And David is saying, God takes care of me. He spends time with me. He protects me. The job of shepherd was not an easy job, first and foremost, because you were responsible for all of these animals. And trust and believe, if you didn't come home with one of those animals, there was going to be trouble. There was going to be an accounting. You were the only, there was no one else to blame. You can't say it was my little brother. I now have the ability, because he's tall enough, to blame things on Hudson. It's wonderful. Did you leave that light on? No, that was Hudson. That's a lie. Of course I come back and say that's a lie, but I like to say, now Hudson must have left that there, and she'll look at me and be like, no, I left that there. Unless it's like his tricycle, in which case I have no business riding his tricycle. So then I can say he left his tricycle there, and she'll believe that. If you're the shepherd, there's no one who's more responsible than you are. You have this job. You have this responsibility to pay attention to this group of animals that depend on you for their very lives. You have to protect animals. I don't know if you know anything about David, but he has an interesting story, and you can go and read about that in Kings and Chronicles. You can go and read the different exploits of David. And he talks about how there were times when he was faced with really difficult things, but they didn't really faze him, because as a shepherd, there were times when he had to fend off wild animals. Now, that sounds pretty mundane, because I feel like probably looking out here, most of you have never gone toe-to-toe with, say, a bear. Anybody ever gone toe-to-toe with a bear? God bless you if you have, and how are you still here? Or maybe some type of mountain cat or lion. Listen, I'm okay as long as I feel secure in my position at the top of the food chain. Do you know what I mean? Like, everything feels, I feel good. But as soon as I'm in the presence of something that may doubt that, that may doubt my supremacy, that may look at me and go, you think you're at the top of the food chain, but I think maybe you could be wrong, and I would like to prove that to you. I have trouble thinking about that. And that's part of the job of the shepherd. If the sheep are in trouble, and it doesn't matter if you've got 50 sheep, you've got to come home with 50 sheep, and you can't go home to your family and say, a lion got one of them. I feel like that's a totally valid excuse. Personally, a lion came. What did you do? I went the other way. I decided when the lion, I mean, how much can a lion eat? One or two? We'll be fine. We still have 48, 47. We'll be fine. The shepherd had to put his life or her life on the line all the time for the sheep. Had to be willing to sacrifice everything. Had to be willing to die to save that animal. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd protects. A shepherd guides and a shepherd leads. A shepherd takes full responsibility for the life and the care of that animal. And David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And he means that in every sense of the agricultural metaphor, and he means it in every sense outside the agricultural metaphor. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who watches my life. The Lord is the one who cares for me. The Lord is the one, if I get lost, he comes and he finds me. The Lord is the one who pays attention to where I am going. The Lord is the one who guides and directs. The Lord is the one who makes sure that I'm headed in the right direction, not headed in the wrong direction. The Lord is the one who protects me from danger. If my life is in danger, the Lord himself comes to intercede for me. That's your God. That's not just the God of David. Do you know how I know that? What did Jesus say in John chapter 10? I am the good shepherd. If we're not careful, we think about Psalm 23 and we can just by rote say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You've already missed it. Let's get to that second piece because that one blows my mind. This is what the NASB says, New American Standard says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the same thing in several other versions. The NIV says, I lack nothing. There's a two-part context here that I want you to grab onto. First is David's context. This was written, Psalm 23 was written when he was on the run for his life. This was not written when David was sitting fat cat in his throne and everything was going well and he had servants who went to the market for his servants. This is not when everything has finally come to fruition in his life, because remember that David was crowned king 10 years before he ever saw the throne. It was a decade. And the large portion of that decade was spent running for his life, literally living in caves. David is saying at one of the most difficult times in his life, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack for anything. Well, David, that's not true, because you don't have a regular meal. David had no idea where food was going to come from day to day. He would scavenge. He would go out and hunt, probably stealing some sheep from other people. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not want. David, you don't have a roof over your head. Well, I mean a cave. How many of you, though, would really? Maybe you're not the biggest fan of your house, and maybe you need to expand it a little bit, and maybe it needs some work and could use some updating, but how many of you would be like, nah, I'm going to go find a cave. Maybe I'll just dig a hole in the side of the... No, nobody here is going to leave the creature comforts of their home and go live in a cave. That's not happening. We struggle without air conditioning, much less without like some kind of place to lay our head every night. David is making this declaration that just denies, it's completely in the face of his experience and his circumstance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. I don't know about you, but I have lots of wants. Maybe you do too. Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just me and okay, I'll take that on myself. All right, I'm fine. I'm a greedy person. I can say it. I have lots of wants. I want to go different places and see different things. Every time I see some commercial that has Ireland in it, I want that. I'm like 1/29th Irish or something. I don't know. I'm in here is like the smelting pot of America, okay? I've got French and English on one side and Irish and Scottish on the other. I'm about as mutt as you can get, okay? But there's something about Ireland that just calls to me. My best friend and I had planned a trip. We planned a trip, and we were like, we're going, and we saved up the money. And I mean, we were getting the car rental, and we were going to drive around the ring of whatever, and we're going to see the rocks that were special for that thing, and there were cliffs of something, and there were just places we were going to go. And then both of our wives got pregnant. God is good, amen, children are a blessing, full quiver, all that stuff. It was fine. And we were supposed to take our trip about 3 months before they were supposed to have their babies. And Sean, I knew he was going to be the one to break down because I was ready. I was like, she'll be fine. This is Sean and Summer's second. And he's like, hey, man, I was wondering about the trip. And I heard that sound in his voice, and I was like, dude. And he was like, I'm just wondering how you would feel if we were in Ireland and we got a call that something wasn't right. Well, we're not going to Ireland then, because you're 100% right, and why would I want to be gone for any moment of this, my first child? Why would I want to be gone? So we didn't go. And so every time I see something about Ireland, I think, oh, that was almost me. There are things that I think, there's some stuff at my house. Listen, we bought this house, and it was the right house, and it was the right time. And you know that houses settle? Did anybody know that houses begin to settle? Have you noticed that houses begin to... How does that happen? Because it's on a concrete thing, right? That's like real thick, but it starts to settle. And so suddenly you walk in one day, and like one of your doors is like this. And you begin to wonder, is that me? Am I... You're walking on a floor, and you notice that it does this. Like, was there some kind of cataclysmic thing that I didn't... And you drop something on the floor, and magically it rolls away? Have you ever noticed that? It just rolls... Hudson has toys now. And he would bounce me a ball, and it bounced to me and started to roll, and then just took a right. And I was... It went right into some corner of the... And Christina was like, we're never going to sell this house. I'm like, it's going to be fine. We may need some subfloor, but we're going to be fine. There are things I would like to change about my house. There's some wants that I have. We have a tiny sink. When they flipped the house and all of the bathrooms, they put 24-inch basins. You know what that is? That's like the smallest thing that it's a sink that you can still call a sink. If it's smaller than that, then it's just like a porcelainized depression. You know what I'm saying? But this actually is a sink. Every time I'm there, like you can't splash too much water because then it goes all over the... There are things about my house that I want. But do I need them? Probably not. And then I think about my life in comparison to this man who slept on the ground for about a decade and didn't know where his meals were coming from. You can read some of the stories and the shenanigans that he got into, and people were drawn to this man, and so suddenly this shepherd of animals now suddenly became a shepherd of people, and he felt responsible for them, and the group grew and grew and grew, and that just, you know, God was already blessing him with his leadership skills, but it was a double-edged sword because it's one thing to be a great leader, it's another thing when people count on you. I'm fine being a leader as long as no one is counting on me. Yes, as long as I'm the only person affected by my decisions, amen, I'm a leader. And then more people begin to count on you, and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's David right here saying, in the midst of one of the darkest times of his life is forfeit. The king of Israel searches for him ceaselessly. The only way that the king is going to quit, the only way that Saul will stop looking for him, is if David is killed. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I wonder if maybe, from time to time, we forget the blessings that are ours. I wonder if maybe, from time to time, we allow our culture and our society, maybe even the people around us, begin to speak wants and needs into us that are not our wants or our needs. I wonder if maybe what we expose ourselves to creates hunger in us that is not from God and that cannot be satisfied by God because it didn't come from Him. I wonder if maybe when we are in the darkest times of our lives, maybe if we stop for a second and stop going, I need, I want, and take a look at what it is that we have. I wonder if maybe we could see God as the good shepherd again in our lives. I wonder. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If you know anything about me, when stuff hits me funny out of the Bible, I do my research. Because he makes me lie down in green pastures. I don't know what picture that presents for you, but for me, that's the shepherd going, lay down, like literally just, you know, or just, meh, just really pushing the, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He literally, and you know what? That's true. Interesting, sheep are interesting. They're interesting animals. And sometimes what the shepherd has to do in order to convince the sheep that they are where they're supposed to be is the shepherd has to take its legs out from under it, literally has to flip it on its side. And I thought, why in the world, listen, I enjoy food. I think that goes without saying. If you've been here for a minute, you understand that eating is something that I hope to do for eternity. because you won't get fat there. I know that. I know it because it's paradise, and nothing goes wrong in paradise. There's no such thing as bad cholesterol, and nobody's going to be taking my whatever to make sure that my blood pressure is a thing. You can just eat and eat and eat, and God is good. If I'm a sheep, and the sheep is an eating machine, if I'm following the guy that I know is my shepherd, and I come to this place where it's green and my friends and relatives or whatever and everybody's eating, I'm trying to figure out why I'm not necessarily feeling like this is where I need to be. What's my anxiety about? Let me tell you a little bit about sheep. Sheep are not going to lie down unless four conditions are met. They have to be free from fear. They have to be free from flock drama. I'll get back to that in a second. They have to be free from pests. And they have to be free from hunger. Sheep will not lie down unless they are free from fear, free from flock drama, free from pests, and free from hunger. This you may know about sheep, and maybe you don't. They will bolt in a second. Have you ever been in a crowd of people? And this is a pretty rare occurrence, but it's happened to me before. You're in a crowd of people, and everybody's talking, and all of a sudden there's some screaming, and somebody runs by you. I have found myself running from something I had never seen just because the people around me got nervous. Have you ever seen that? Like, people are like, oh, they're running. I'm like, if they're running, I'm running because I don't want to get caught by whatever's chasing them. That happens with sheep. You can have sheep in a group, and if a rabbit hops out and looks sideways at one of those sheep, that sheep is like, man, no, and takes off. And often, many of the other sheep are like, whatever's bothering that guy, I don't want it to bother me either. Sheep will not lie down until they know that there's no danger around. They have to know that they have nothing to fear before they will rest. They got to be free from flock drama. Interestingly, and I didn't know this until I did my research, in the animal kingdom, a hierarchy is a thing. Lions do this. There's like the old lion, and then there's all these younger lions that kind of, and it falls in a pecking order. Believe it or not, the pecking order actually comes from that. There's a hierarchy in the whole chicken line of livelihood. I don't know if you know this, but there's like the big chicken, and then there's other chickens that are lesser. That's why it's called the pecking order. It's the same way with sheep. Usually there's one female sheep who is like the matriarch of the whole, and you do what she says or she will butt you until you do what she says. So there's this whole line of this order, this hierarchy of who's in charge, and it just kind of, and so there's always a lot of drama. There's a lot of tension in the flock of sheep because everybody's trying to figure out where their place is in the hierarchy. Who's in charge? At what point can I say no to one of these other sheep? At what point do I have some authority? At what point have I grown to the place where I can tell somebody else what to do? But also recognizing, you know, who I've got to be wary of because they'll tell me what to do. Sounds pretty simplistic, but it causes a lot of drama for the sheep. And the sheep will not lie down until they feel comfortable that they are somewhere in this group in the right place in their hierarchy. They've got to know they're in the right spot. They got to be free from pests. I hate mosquitoes. I hate them. I hate them. I'm sorry. You're not supposed to hate anything. And I know that, Father. I'm sorry. But I feel like mosquitoes were probably part of the fall. I just feel that way. I feel like thorns, thistles, and mosquitoes. That's what I feel. And bees. I don't like bees either. Wasps. I can keep on going. It doesn't matter. Spiders. There are things that I just don't like. Pests, bugs are one of those things. And animals that are out in the field are just beset by those things. And they are nasty. I don't know if you know what the bot fly is. You ever heard of the bot fly? The bot fly which bites you and then lays its eggs under your skin. Enjoy your lunch later. And then it gestates underneath your skin. And then lots of other flies come out of that hole. And then it's a wound there. Yeah. Sheep get beset by stuff like this. Different bugs. A sheep will not lay down until it's basically mostly free of pests. Things that are just bothering it. Things that will not get out of its face. And they got to be free from hunger. Sheep will not keep walking if they're hungry, which is weird because for me, if I'm really hungry, I just want to sit down. But it's different for a sheep. A sheep has to know that its tummy is full, or at least the place that it is standing will soon give it enough nourishment so that it can then lie down. It has to have that basic need provided for. It's interesting that if God is our shepherd, it's interesting to think that maybe we have those same experiences and maybe we can trust him to take care of those experiences as well. Sometimes the Lord leads us places that does not look like a green pasture. Somebody should say amen. Sometimes it feels like the Lord leads us to places that we're not supposed to be and we don't want to be there, and it's like God takes our legs out from under us. It's like he says, no, stay here. And you say, No thanks. I don't want to stay here. The tension is too much. The friction is too much. I'm not happy. I don't have what I need. This is not a place that I want to be. These circumstances and these situations, why have you brought me here? And it's almost like God is saying, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. You've got to stop allowing your fear to drive your decision making. You've got to stop being afraid. Listen, I say this all the time from this pulpit. I'm not talking about rational fear. No one here is going to run out into the middle of 193 when the traffic is running, because you should be afraid for your life. Someone will hit you and you will die. Fine, that's a rational fear that's important to your survival. But often we are driven by fear. We make decisions that are fear-based that we cover with prudence. We don't say we're afraid. We say, oh, that's not a good idea. Sometimes we make moves in our lives based on our fear. And the Good Shepherd says, listen, when I bring you to a place, don't be afraid. Trust me. You don't have to have fear because I'm in control. Flock drama. Every person in here got flock drama. All of y'all got flock drama. Some of you have better flocks than others, and bless your hearts for that. But everybody knows what it's like to be in some kind of pecking order, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's in your friendships. Everybody here, because you have to deal with humans, you've got some type of drama. And it is hard sometimes in our walk of faith to keep trusting the Lord and to not have doubt when there are these pressing relationship issues that we have that we just can't seem to get out from under. We can't seem to reconcile. There's just this drama. And it's like God is saying, just trust me. Where you are is where you're supposed to be. The people in your life are there for a purpose. You are there in their lives for a purpose. You just got to trust me. Lie down, be still, and trust me for the drama. Free from pests. You choose your own analogy here. Everybody here has got stuff that's in your face all day, every day that just bothers you. Everybody in here has things that are on the inside that just boil up from time to time. I have recognized when it comes to certain things that I have like this sort of frustration that just bubbles just beneath the surface about different things. I'll just use traffic because that's the best analogy. I try to be calm when I drive, but like just underneath the surface is this current of frustration where I'm just waiting for somebody to make the wrong move so I can curse them in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's just this, and you try to put a good face on it and you try to be calm, but all it takes is one little thing, one little bridge too far, one little poke too much, and you just kind of, you lose it for a second. We have to trust God for the things that just bother us. Just those mundane things. And listen, I just want to encourage you. If there are things that are bringing frustration into your life that shouldn't, for instance, there's a paper towel roll holder. It's a holder, and it sits on the counter. It's on the counter at my home. It holds a roll of paper towels. That roll of paper towels has a finite number of paper towels on them. Everyone knows what happens when you come to the end of or choose toilet paper if you so desire. Choose toilet paper if you so desire. Because again, another important resource in a very important place. It's a resource you don't want to be without under certain conditions. You understand what I'm saying to you? So choose one of those rolls. You know there's a finite amount on there. You know it. And you know that the other people in your flock know it too. Because they have experienced the end of the roll. They've been there. They know what happens. It's such a small thing. And I can walk into my kitchen and just see the cardboard tube on there and just be like, I curse the day I was born. Where's a pot shirt so I can scrape the boils? That was a bad Job joke. It's fine. I look at that and I just think, how can you just leave that there? And I've done experiments. One day, 2 days, 3 days? Really? What are you wiping your hands on? Are you just... Sometimes I use the kid. I'm not going to lie to you. Be like, Hudson, buddy. Sometimes you wipe it on the kid. There's this level of frustration. What is the point of that? How can I see an empty... How can I see a cardboard roll and think, gah! There's these small things. We trust God for the big things. That's easy. We got to trust God for the small things as well. Freedom from hunger. I'm going to shortcut this and say this to you. If you are not exposing yourself to the Word, if you are not exposing yourself to community, if you are not exposing yourself, taking an opportunity to worship God, then you are going to be hungry in a way that nothing can satisfy. Only God can satisfy the hunger that you have in your soul. Everybody in here is broken, and there's no way for you to be fixed except first and foremost through a relationship with Jesus, and trust and believe that you won't be fixed until you're not here anymore. You've got to trust the shepherd to fill you with things so that you won't be hungry anymore. That's everybody. We all long for everything to be fixed. Every person in here, and people especially who don't, it's so funny to me, people who don't know the Lord have a greater sense and understanding of how something is not right in their lives than we do. They're just, something is missing. How many people do you know? Something is just missing. Something is not right. I keep looking for that something. That's God, because there's this hunger for God and for His presence in our lives, for His Spirit in our souls. Sheep will not lie down until they're free from fear, free from drama, free from pests, and free from hunger. And sometimes what you've got to do is trust the shepherd when he takes his legs out from under you in a place that looks barren. Just looks barren. Green pastures don't just happen in the Holy Land. The shepherd is not just responsible for the sheep in the moment. The shepherd is responsible for leading that sheep to places where he knows they can find sustenance. And one of the things that shepherds do is they work together to sow seed so that there can be places where their animals can eat. If all shepherds ever did was just move their animals around in some kind of circular, weird, clockwise or non-clockwise motion, and everybody just tried to get their animals fed without re-sowing back into the ground, there would be no shepherds because there would be no animals. That's not how that works. There's not enough green pasture land in the Holy Land. This is specifically from Jerusalem. Green pasture land in the Holy Land to sustain and support the kind of economy that they need. Trust and believe that your shepherd is sowing seed in your future to take you places where you can be satisfied. He's not just leading you from one dry place to another. He's not just expecting you to make do with whatever it is that he brings you to. He doesn't want to drop you off in a rocky gorge and go, all right, good luck, try to get fed. He's leading you specifically to take you places where you can trust him, where he can lay you down, where there's sustenance for you, where you can be fed. Because he's gone before you in your life to sow seed in your future. And that's hard sometimes when the way that seems like God, the places it seems God is leading you don't make any sense. That's hard when it seems rocky and when it seems barren. It's hard when you can't feel him. It's hard when you can't hear his voice. That's hard. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Sheep are so startlish, sheep are so edgy, that if they come to a body of water that's moving too quickly, they won't drink from it. They'll bolt. It's unsettling for them. The waters, there's too much motion going on. Sheep will prefer to drink from a stagnant pool. One of those, you know, glassy, you know, flat as glass, see your reflection in it. Here's the problem with a stagnant pool. It's often filled with all kinds of bacteria that can kill the sheep. So the shepherd has to know exactly where to take sheep, where there's a body of water that's not stagnating, but is not rushing so quickly that it startles the sheep, that it's moving enough so that parasites can't find a place, so that the sheep won't get sick, so that the sheep will trust the situation, will trust the shepherd, and will be able to drink from that water. Interestingly, what did Jesus say? He was at a well. And he was in Samaritan land. And there's so much wrong with that scenario right there, but you should read about that for Jesus to be in Samaritan land. And he was at a well in the middle of the day. And a woman came up and they had just a remarkable conversation. And Jesus basically said to her, I can give you a drink from the well that doesn't run dry. I can give you a drink from the well that is everlasting water, that is everlasting life. He's your shepherd, which means he cares for you, he protects you, he leads you and he guides you and he directs you. When you get lost, he comes to look for you. He'll leave everything else to come and look for you. He protects you. He has gone before you seeking places where you can be fed. He's gone before you looking for the water that brings life, that won't be too fast or too slow. He's gone before you into your future, providing ways and means so that you could be successful. David said, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack nothing. Where are you in your walk with the Lord today? Where is your hunger and your appetite coming from? How long has it been since you've let the shepherd just walk into your midst? Interestingly enough, a shepherd can walk into the middle of sheep and just stand there. And one by one, sometimes, they'll just begin to lie down. Because the shepherd's presence brings calm and peace. And when the shepherd stands still, the sheep will say, if he's not moving, maybe I can trust this. All the flock drama goes away. And the sheep can lie down in peace. Is the shepherd in your midst? Are you making that opportunity for him to be there? Are you leading and guiding and directing, or is he? Father, we want to submit our will to you in this moment. We want to submit our lives to you. We think we know better. You've created us to be smart. You've created us to be ambitious. You've created us with gifts and with talents. You've given us all of these things, and sometimes, God, we feel like we're the ones who's got to, we have to direct our own lives. But the truth is, you are our shepherd, and it is you who leads and guides and directs. And if we step out of line, then we step out of safety. If we go our own way, then we risk damage. If we don't trust you, we have no one we can trust. Father, I'm asking in this moment that your people would begin to see you as the shepherd. We'd begin to trust you. We'd begin to be near you. We'd begin to allow to come you to come into our midst. Would trust that you, when you move, we move with you. We would trust that, God, that where you go, we should go. We would trust when you stand still that we're safe and we can be right where we need to be with you. Father, there are some folks in here that you have taken their legs out from under them with their circumstances and their situations, and they have no idea where you are or what's going on. But here's what I know. Father, if you've brought people to these places, if you've allowed things to happen, then they're exactly where they need to be. They just need to look to you and trust you and believe that you are guiding, directing, loving, protecting, leading. We love you, Father, and I pray that we would trust you to be our shepherd in all ways, in all circumstances, at all times. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.